Tokyo, Japan, the friendliest, awesomest part of Japan. And we're talking about friendliness today.
Friendship!
Because we've noticed some observations, not only from Kichijoji, but like mostly from Kichijoji. Mm. And we kind of are starting to form a theory about community in Japan.
Okay. Go with it.
Okay, so this starts with...
I didn't form any theory. What's your theory?
Okay, so this comes from a few different examples.
Follow our story.
So it starts with the Worth It team from BuzzFeed. If you've probably seen some of their videos on YouTube. They're here doing some videos in Japan. Mm-hmm. And Steven, who's part of that team, messaged us. And he's like, hey, we got a free night. Do you want to do something?
Yeah.
So he said, hey, let's take you out to Kichijoji, because I always think it's a great place mm-hmm. to take people, because whenever people come visit Japan, they mostly think about, you know, like Shibuya mm-hmm. and Shinjuku and Harajuku. But not a lot of people know about Kichijoji mm-hmm. apart from our very intelligent and esteemed and dignified yes. audience that knows mm-hmm. what the best part of Japan yeah. is.
And what I'd say is I don't really blame people for that, because, yeah. you know, if you're coming to Japan, you're going to kind of like hit these locations and
right.
feel like these are the things that Japan has to offer.
Right.
But those aren't really like the local scene. It's
yeah.
not what the average Japanese person's doing. Like,
not
they're
at
not
all.
Leaving their house and being like, let's go party in Shibuya tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that's not actually what people are doing. Right.
So what we like to do whenever people come over, we want to take them to some izakayas that we really like, that have
yeah.
a good vibe, that have a good feeling, mm-hmm. that like look kind of cool, that look very different.
And it would be hard to find on your own.
Exactly.
It took us a long time.
So we took them to Harmonica Yokocho,
yeah.
Harmonica Alley, which we've done a video about before. Mm-hmm. We took them to Min Min, and we showed them like some really good gyozas
yeah.
that they absolutely loved. And then afterwards, we took them to another part that we didn't actually like. I don't think we've ever shared any pictures of this place.
I'm trying to remember if we have. I feel like we've told you guys about this place
I think
before.
We mentioned it before.
Yeah,
yeah, no, we definitely told a story about this place before.
I have shared one photo.
Have you?
If you guys cast your minds to Instagram, there was a photo that I put up of a really adorable little glass cup. It had like Mickey Mouse and like little cute whales on it or something.
Okay, okay.
And it was filled with sake.
Right.
And it was our first time to stumble upon that
yeah.
place. And it was like this very like going into someone's home kitchen and
yeah.
all their mismatched plates.
Yeah, we're just,
you know?
we described it before, like how brown it was, the stars
yeah.
that came out of a different color. So this is maybe from like a couple months ago we did
yeah.
the podcast. And we decided to take them there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was eight people all together.
Yeah, we thought it would just be like three of us, like five of us all
they
together.
Brought the whole posse with them, so it was
yeah.
a little bit difficult to maneuver. But when we went there, one member of their team was actually their fixer for their whole shoot. And like, she used to live in Japan. She was born and raised here.
Yeah.
She's Japanese, and now she lives in LA. And she caught something that I wound up missing out on when we first walked into
the
place.
Yeah, so when we went to the bar afterwards, I ended up sitting beside her, and she mm-hmm. said to me, like, wow, you guys are really part of the local scene here. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I mean, like, it's right, you know, near our neighborhood and stuff. And she goes, no, no, no. She goes,
yeah.
when you went into the miso bar, she mm-hmm. said the guy behind the counter, who's, like, younger, probably in his mid-20s.
Right, right.
20s, 30s.
He's a young guy.
Yeah. He said, like, you know, oh, hi, everybody. But then when he saw Simon,
uh-huh.
he called him older brother.
Yeah.
I don't remember, or Oni-chan, or younger brother, or
yeah.
some kind of term, uh-huh. which is, like, I wasn't there for that because there
yeah.
were eight of us. I was coming in slowly.
You were far the second wave.
Yeah.
yeah.
But she said that it's a very, like, endearing term. It's kind of like, hey, cousin, what's up?
Uh-huh.
Or, like, auntie.
I totally didn't hear it because I was so, like, concerned with, hey, how do I get all these people here? I was trying to be a good host
yeah.
and, like, pointing people around and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed out on this. And I only learned about this afterwards, when we were bike riding back, Martina and I, like on a different day. And she told me about this, and I almost crashed my bike from having tears in my eyes because I was
like,
so moved. Like, did he just call me older brother? Like, we've been there a few times, but I didn't really think that, like,
it's more than a few. We've been
yeah.
there a lot, but
well,
it's not like we go there.
We haven't been there 20 times.
Okay. Here comes the pedantic part of
Simon.
No,
I'm just saying, like, I only think we've been there a few times. Like, Bakurai, we've been to a lot.
Yeah, we've been there more than seven times.
Sure.
We've been there, like, enough that they recognize that
right.
we are not visiting on vacation.
But it's also, like, the idea that it's not just that they remember what we look like, but they feel like we're something connected
mm-hmm.
to them, which I was always, like, I was always never presumptuous. I just, like, hey, I'm a customer. This is the
mm-hmm.
transaction. You know, like, you give me the food, I give you the money, and that's it. But for
mm-hmm.
him to be, like, older brother, like, I'm so moved.
Yeah.
But then we started thinking about, like, other restaurants that we go to in Japan, and we're starting to realize that those other restaurants are kind of, like, being nicer to us than just like the regular like client customer relationship.
There's a sound tone in their voice that we're noticing now. Like for example, when I came in after you to the eggplant bar, we call it the eggplant bar, but it's nothing to do. I mean, they make eggplants, but like we're like it's the eggplant miso bar. Many other things apart, but
we just love the eggplant.
When I came in, I went up the stairs and I went kombowa, and they went kombowa, and then when they saw me, they went oh, and they went kombowa, and there was like a little bit of like a recognition.
You could hear the smiles in their eyes when they say it. You know?
And so now I'm trying to like keep my ears open for these kind of reactions and stuff, you know, like if people see it, because everyone in Japan is very polite to begin with, but now we're recognizing the voice tones that come with it.
Yeah.
And I remember when this happened to us in Korea as well.
So
when we used to live in Bucheon, which was our first 4 years, 3 years, 4 years, 4 years.
Bucheon was, I think, 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Finished teaching after 3 years, and then we had our last transition in Bucheon and moved to Seoul. So it was like 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it was
three or four. I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember because I don't want to be one of those people who's 4 years like, I don't remember my life. I'm trying to actually remember it. When we were there, I remember going to the Ajima Samgyeopsal place, which is one of our favorites.
Right.
And when we were there grilling and stuff, we never thought that they would remember who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But then we gave them Christmas cookies every year. Like we would bake cookies and we would bring them around to the neighborhood and be like, Merry Christmas. Until we realized that that's really weird because Christmas is not celebrated as like a family thing in Korea. So we were doing this very like family thing. But then they came over and would like sneak us sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
They'd like tap me and be like, this is for you.
Yeah.
So then I started to realize, okay, so they obviously recognize us because you don't just give people free stuff or free sweet potatoes or that kind of stuff unless you know them.
Right.
It's a thing that happens. Then it happened to you in Japan where we went for yakiniku.
Right. So there's this yakiniku place that we get to go to once every like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
It's another one of those referral only restaurants in which like you can't call them up and be like, hey, can I get a reservation? Yeah. They're like, nah, you need to be invited by somebody else.
Because they have like four tables.
It's a very small place. It's very old. They've been
around. And it's not hoity-toity. It's literally like you open up and you go in and you're like, this is a normal restaurant.
I don't know if we told a story about this before because I'm old and I don't remember what stories we told. But like one of them, like the story about this one is that she's like the old cat lady. They make amazing yakiniku. The Chateaubriand is amazing.
This is the place that gave us a jar of their homemade gochujang.
Right.
Which if you just watched our jelly video, if you go back to the fridge shot, there's gochujang that's in a big red container. That's the stuff that I buy that's Korean.
Yeah.
But then beside it, there's a tiny container and that's not jam. That's homemade precious gochujang.
From this restaurant.
From this restaurant.
And I remember when like our friend brought us in there, he warned us. He's like, look, there's an old lady here and she's super mean and judgmental.
And picky, yeah.
And super picky. And if you do anything that she doesn't like, then you'll be banned from the restaurant and I'll be banned from the restaurant as well.
Yeah.
So just be on your best behavior.
And I even wore that day like to my wrist. I wore clothing to my wrist because I was so scared about maybe the tattoos would like turn them off.
Right.
Like I tried to look as like averagely normal Martina as possible.
And then he's also like, don't ask for a reservation until you come here a few times so that she could get to know who you are. But like right on our first day, like we were like really nice to her. And
we really
like,
hit it off.
Yeah,
like,
we
I
really
love
hit
the
it
cats
off.
In her store.
And she's like, yeah, go. We got a reservation for next time. So that's great. So we've been going there regularly and bringing
and
people
at home.
We bring her cat stuff as well. And, two times ago, so not the last time we went, but the time before that, I went right after my last tattoo session.
Yeah.
So my arm was covered in bandage,
and
like all the way, and
saran wrap,
and I couldn't really bend like my arm at all.
Wrist to upper arm was kind of all wrapped up.
So I had to use chopsticks with my left hand. And when they saw me, they were like really concerned, like, oh, is everything okay? Like, oh, okay, okay. I was nervous because I didn't want to be like, hey, I just got new tattoos because I know that this old lady is like super judgmental.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, oh, no, just a little bit of pain. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then when we just came
fast
there,
forward to
yeah,
like
fast
last
forward
week.
To last week, we go there again.
We're in t-shirts now because now we're comfy with the place.
Right.
When we come in, they know us.
Yep.
They know all their customers.
Exactly.
They walk every customer out to the door. So when you come in at your reservation, they're walking out the people before you and everyone gets 2 hours and then that's it.
And then GTFO.
And GTFO right away. And if you're late, we're starting without you because there ain't no way that you're missing out this 2 hours.
So the old lady walks us outside and then she looks at my arm and she's like, oh, is your arm feeling okay? And I was super embarrassed because I'm like, oh no, I know that older people don't like tattoos and I can't be like, oh, I was getting a tattoo, but I don't want to lie to her either. I don't want to say that I scratched her or something. So
we were with a Japanese friend.
We were with a Japanese friend. So I'm like, okay, I might as well tell her. I hope that she doesn't hate me. Yeah, it was tattoos that I got and it's all healed now. So
And
okay.
He rolled up your sleeve to like show the tattoos.
And she's like, oh, cool. And I'm like, I'm sorry, like you're not upset by it. She's like, I'm not upset. My dad was covered in tattoos.
Yep.
Her dad was covered in tattoos.
How old do you think this woman is?
Now, this woman is probably like 70 or 80.
I would say 80s.
Yeah.
Because 70, you're still kind of like spry. She's got the gray hair. Yeah. She's kind of crunching
she's
over.
She's really crunched over.
She's
80s. So if she's 80 and her dad
had tattoos.
Back in the day, being covered in tattoos then meant a whole lot different than what it means to be covered in tattoos now. Because I'm about to get, like, when we come back from, like, our trip, I'm going to get more tattoos
on
my arm.
You're going to finish your sleeve, yeah.
I'm going to finish my left sleeve.
But what I'm saying here is, this woman, we kept thinking, like, when you hear from somebody, like, you know, oh, she's judgy, she's that. Yeah. Turns out, she's probably not judgy at all.
Not at all.
Turns out, it's the opposite. Probably, she comes from a gangster family.
Right.
Right? Because I mean, fact. Yeah. You don't say your dad was covered, quote, covered in tattoos.
Not for
giggles.
Not
in Japan. No. You don't say that in Japan. Mm-mm. You can say that in, like, New York. Yeah, my dad's covered in tattoos. Sure. You're like, cool. But here you're like, that means something.
That means something.
She's probably like, I don't take shit from no one.
Nope.
That's what she means.
And if you try to give it back, then I'll dispose of your body.
Okay, well, that's why the meat is so good.
It's so good there.
No, but I think that, like, she doesn't like people who are fake. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like people who are, like, remember we saw that girl bad talking cats? And we were like, you ain't never getting a reservation.
This
is the same charming woman who said the reason why she likes cats is because she has, like, 8 or 9 straight cats that she takes care of and feeds outside of her house.
Uh-huh.
So this is one of those people who doesn't take shit from no one, but she's a caring woman.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yep.
Saitamaya was, like, the same way.
Exactly.
They're not meat. Saitamaya is the video, guys, that we did where you're not allowed to order off the menu and you don't take pictures and you have to drink and you can't have kids in there.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he's really, like, a hard person who's mean.
Yeah.
But no, he's just like, I want people to have a good time and to, like, look into each other's eyes and talk and eat food. And I'm going to have to make sure that you do it. So this is my rules.
But Saitamaya is another example of somebody who, like, was really surprising for me because it's like, he's such, like, an old badass man.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, he's got all these strict rules and we filmed our video there. I'm like, thank you for the honor of letting me film here. And every time we come back, he's super excited to see us.
Everyone is, like, welcoming us like a family.
Big handshakes. And he's like, you know, you come here through this way. And, like, but he's so famous. He doesn't need to, like, literally, like, one time that we were there, there was, like, the director of Godzilla that was there. Like, he deserves much more attention than we do. But we're starting to notice that, like, with Saitamaya, with the cat lady, with the miso place as well, they're, like, kind of remembering us in ways that I didn't expect to be remembered.
Yeah.
I feel like when I was in Canada, I feel like when I was in Seoul, there are lots of places that I went to often that I just, like, nobody really cared. They're just like, here's your food and bounce. But here in Japan, I feel like the more I go places, the more rewarded I am. The warmer they are, the nicer they are as a result.
What I will say, though, like, one point I will disagree with is that I think that we experienced a little bit of that in Korea, but it was in Busan.
Yeah, not in Seoul. In Busan we did.
When we moved to Seoul, it was kind of like that typical thing you read about in books where people go to, like, the big city and it's kind of cold.
Right.
And it's like, I think the difference that I noticed, though, and like, okay, hear me out with this train of thought. So when we're in Japan, have any of the people that are working there, do any of them look like they're in their early 20s? Like, do they look like they're university students that are trying to get through and it's a part-time job?
In any place? Yeah, maybe some of the coffee shops look like really younger people.
The coffee shops look like younger people, for sure. But they're all younger people there, right? And what I found in Seoul was the places that have, like, the old people, the Gamjitong place across from our house, those women knew us well.
Okay.
They don't have a friendliness to them. Like, they don't have a warmness like Japan where they're kind of like, oh, but they kind of have, like, a, like, oh, like, they have this kind of, like, they know it's you kind of feeling. But what I found was there's a lot of, like, a lot of younger people that were working at the restaurants in Seoul. Those were the ones that didn't give a F. Like, if we went for
They
didn't give an F.
No flutes.
You know what? No flutes were given.
None.
Like, if you go to a Takalbi in Seoul, you could go to the same Takalbi shop, like, 400 times. But the 8 people there were all just flirting with each other and chatting with each other. And they'd be like, like, there's, like, this nasal Seoul sound that happens.
Just, like, a total disconnect. Like, they didn't, they just, it's kind of like they're just trying to get paid.
Right.
I don't really care
that's
about
what I'm
this.
Saying.
But I,
and that's, I'm, by the way, just for the safety here, I'm not saying that this is just in Seoul.
Sure.
It is,
like
this
I
is
said,
North American.
I experienced this in Toronto as well. Like, I've,
typical,
like,
North American.
There are many places that we went to often that I didn't feel as warmly welcomed as I am in the places that I've been to only, like, a few times here in Japan.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, we were speaking with somebody who, I'm not sure if this is related or not, but he says that in Japan there's a lot of, what's it called, mini villages. was a term.
Mini villages, yeah.
Mini villages. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because it's such a big city, mm-hmm. right, when you go to like places regularly, they're trying to form like these smaller communities because yeah. they know how difficult it is in a big city.
Yeah.
And I think that's great because I definitely think big cities can be very cold.
Yeah.
You definitely hear about that in New York. I definitely felt that in Toronto a bit. Mm-hmm. And like I felt that in Seoul. I think that Japan is like the kind of customer service that they're doing in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make people feel like they're part of something.
Yeah.
When I feel like in a city, you could feel like you're part of nothing.
Kind of like when you leave a bottle with your name on the shelf. You're welcome like back here.
Swept away in the wave. But here, Japan is really trying to make you feel important, mm-hmm. I think. And I really, really enjoy that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things to like to go on the same idea of this, like these little mini villages,
mm-hmm.
I do think that that's what helps you survive if you're feeling lonely.
Right.
So it's hard to do because you're stepping out of your comfort bubble. And we're lucky because we have each other.
Yeah.
But if you come here alone, one of the biggest things we hear is like people say they're lonely. They don't have any friends. Like,
right.
Of course, like you don't speak the language or you're learning it.
Yeah.
And where do you go?
Right.
Well, we have somebody who we really look up to.
Yeah.
His name is Edward.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Edward listens to our podcast, but if you do, Edward, hi.
Hi.
We met Edward at Buckle Rye.
Yeah.
And he started going there because he saw our videos.
Yep.
So he like watches our stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then he became a real local there. Like he goes way more than we do.
Like we go to Buckle Rye maybe like once or twice a month, maybe, but he's there like weekly, if not like more than weekly.
And we go by on our bikes and we like walk by or we go by in our taxis. So we always look in.
And we see him there.
And we see him, and he's got this awesome corner on the counter and he chats with the locals, you know, like, and I can really see how he's just been warmly welcomed into this location. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you are a real role model for people of how they should be interacting with society in the sense that like you're a foreigner,
right.
You know, you don't know the language very well, but you're going to try to learn the language and you're going to try to interact with these people and you're going to put yourself out there.
Yep.
You know,
just go out there and be out there. And I think just like going out there regularly and making yourself a part of the community is a big help. I know that with us, like one of the things that we notice is sometimes we get into like very big, like editing grooves
mm-hmm.
and we just like stay at home and work. And we find that if we don't leave the house after like 36 hours or so,
actually 2 days is too much. It's already like just over the 1 day mark.
Yeah.
And entering into the next
like
day.
Like a day and a half, then we're like, I feel terrible. What am I doing with my life here? Like I need to go out and interact. And I feel like going to like the different izakayas around here allows you to feel like you're connected to something.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as foreigners, like it's super challenging.
That's the key part is that like, you know, we talk to you guys in English and that's our like, well, it's my first language, but it's your second, but it's our like major language, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we leave the house, that's not what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
So like when we were in Korea, we made videos in English because you guys mostly spoke English,
right?
But when we were in Korea, we didn't speak English to people.
We spoke Korean to people.
Right. And that limits like your expression because now you're learning to express yourself using a different language.
Right.
So I know how to say...
I don't know how to do a memer's voice in Korean.
I don't know how to be sarcastic.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I know how to like in English, like go to Toronto and someone's like... You know, oh, how's your day going so far? And I'm like, super great. Be like, my alarm didn't go off. And they're like, and like, we can kind of banter, right?
Uh-huh.
But in Asian cultures, there's different ways that you can speak to people.
Right. I don't know comedic timings very well.
So in Korea, I used to do a lot of like slang that wasn't right.
Yeah.
Like, for example, G-Dragon took it. Autumn.
Yeah.
Autumn is like, means ice.
Yeah.
But ice in English can mean like diamonds or like something's cool and like a hip hop slang. So I was joking about something and I was like,
it can be cool in a hip hop slang.
Yes, it can. Be Martina's gonna make it cool.
Watch daka, me, daka, daka, make it cool for everyone here.
I'm gonna make it cool. We're gonna go to school. We'll learn how to rap and wear this cap. My cap says,
please,
yo,
that's
my name is Martina.
I know you do this for like my reaction, but there's other people here, many thousands that you were hurting at the same time.
Simon hates when I rap. It's one of my most favorite things
to do. Think of the children
because there's almost nothing you hate about me, but it's just that
I don't hate that about you. I want to say hate. Hate's a strong word. It just makes me feel not great on the inside.
Your bum.
Just please, just stop. Just please, just
go
on.
The point is, I said something like autumn, 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 like super cool, like autumn, autumn, autumn. And they laughed and they got that I was trying to say cool, cool, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then freaking G-Dragon takes it. Mm-hmm. The autumn, 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 hold up.
Right.
Na, 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 na. Right. So what I'm trying to say is I was able to kind of communicate Martina using Korean.
Mm-hmm.
I could be myself. I could joke a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese now, we have to learn that all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we convey to people, either using English if they speak English or using Japanese, who we are?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful with our gestures, our body language. When we eat yakiniku at the restaurant, we are very clearly happy about what we eat.
Right.
Like, we're expressive.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's what got us our reservation. We didn't do it on purpose. It was because we were like, oh my God, this is so good.
A lot of people that we eat with sometimes, whenever like we go to nice places, like they eat something and they're like,
solemn.
They're very like, like quiet and reserved about it. But for us, we're always like, holy crap, I can't believe that I'm alive and eating this. Like, this is great. Like, I could be not alive and not eating this. Like, this is a tremendous
experience.
It's a great experience. And I feel like a lot of chefs in Japan don't get to see that reaction from a lot of people.
Yeah.
We went to like one sushi place before, like the Amamoto, I think it was. The one recently with the guy that has a shrimp that goes off the table.
Oh, yeah. He has this. He takes these shrimps and he puts them on the edge of your plate. And the way that it hangs is like balanced perfectly. So everyone always takes these photos of this.
Kind of like
shrimp.
When you're like balancing. Like, remember those like eagles that you got as a kid? That,
I
like,
knew
bounce their
exactly
nose?
What you were talking about.
He does
about.
The same thing with the shrimp. And when we were there, like, we were there with other foodies. And everyone had the cameras. And everyone was like, whoa. But it was all younger people that were there. And that was the first time I ever went to like a higher end place that I actually like heard people like expressing themselves happily. Most people are just like, so I think chefs remember us because like we're conveying to them our joy
the way that
over
we can,
their
you
food
know?
You know,
yeah. And it's the same thing how like in the Bakurai video we made that whole thing where I said what was it, not super oishi.
Yeah, super oishi.
I went super oishi, and they had a good laugh because that's weird. Like in Japanese, you don't use the word super and oishi together, but in English, to me, that's super delicious.
It makes sense.
I'm saying to somebody like, oh my God, this is delicious. Yeah. And then I'm like, it's super delicious.
Yeah.
But they think it's hilarious. Right. And so this is, again, what I'm trying to say about language can be hard to express what you're trying to do. But what I'm trying to get at from all this ramble is that
community.
Not just community. I'm trying to say that you need to get out there and don't let things like not knowing the language or being concerned, don't let that hold you back. Because even though my language for Japanese is still, I'm still learning it and I can barely speak English, as you can tell, people still remember us.
Right.
It's okay that I said super oishi.
I think the way that I want to conclude this and wrap this up, the reason why these experiences of community at restaurants mean so much to me is because I feel that this very much parallels our YouTube-ness and about how I the both of us really value our online community.
Yeah, you guys are precious.
We love speaking with you online on Twitter, in comments and whatnot. And when people leave comments, after a while, I start remembering their names and I start remembering their avatars. I remember other comments they left in previous videos. I could joke back and forth with them.
If we find out your real name, like we know like Nico now, like we'll know Paisley, like we'll know people's names once we finally hear them from you.
Right.
You know,
I feel like after people make themselves known enough to us, then I'm like, holy smokes, I remember you. You've been in these previous videos. Thank you for leaving these
comments.
You're
visiting our restaurant.
I feel kind of like these restaurant owners, like, oh my gosh, you're back again.
You're back again.
I'm so happy to see you again. I think because like for us, we know that there are millions of videos out there for you to watch, and some of them you could just watch passively. But for those of you that leave an active comment, like, holy smokes, you actually came to this video, you clicked on it, you watched it, engaged with it, thought about it, and then actually opened up the box, typed it in, and then impressed. Cancel, because there are many times that I like write a comment like, I'm bored of this, and I'll just delete it and I'll walk away. But you followed through and you left us a comment and you reached out to us. So I feel like restaurants in Japan are also like, there are thousands of ramen shops here.
Yeah, that
there
makes
are
sense.
Thousands of
it's
coffee shops, and you came here to my place so many times. Thank you, brother. Thank you, cousin. I feel like all of you brothers and sisters
watching us right now. Simon Cheesy mode.
Can I get an amen? No, I'm not going to get churchy, but I just feel that same kind of community connection that I'm feeling in Japanese restaurants.
Yeah.
I got a little bit overexcited.
You sure did. I need to check our strawberry to see how much time we've got. 5 minutes left on camera before it shuts off.
Okay.
Because I'll help wrap it up now because Simon always tells me that I go over and then the camera stops recording and then it's just crotchgate.
Crotchgate.
Right?
We locked it this time.
No
one's looking at our peepees. All right.
I don't have a peepee. I'm a girl.
Okay.
Spudgy has a peepee.
Spudgy has a peeper.
Are you crotchgate?
He just sat up because I washed him. It's a cold one. I'm sorry, buddy. Lost my train of thought talking about peepees. Community. Peepees and community.
Right. You were going to say something about how our audience.
Yes. Final thought out of me.
Final thought. You got this, girl.
Whether you're living in your hometown or city.
Yeah.
Whether you're going overseas to like live.
Uh-huh.
You must go out there and try to make friends with people.
Right.
Okay. You have to.
Uh-huh.
no matter what your anxieties are or your issues are, you don't have to speak to people at first if you don't want to,
yeah.
but make yourself seen.
Just make yourself known.
And what's great about Japan is that they have that counterculture where you can go and you can sit at a counter alone. So many people eat alone. Right. I think in a restaurant, more people are often eating alone than if you count the amount of...
I think you're right.
Like you'll see like four people together, but you'll see like all these individuals. It's okay to do that. Go out there. You're nervous. You don't know what to order. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Be awkward. Stumble over your words, you know, and then come back again and you'll be welcomed and they'll get to know you even more and more and more, whether it's a coffee shop or a comedy club or a local, you know, foreign bar.
Yeah.
Just get out there.
I'm going to end this with a question and end this with like a story into a question.
Oh,
because like we told you before about our coffee shop.
Three.
Okay. We told you before about our taco shop, not our coffee shop that we really like. It's starting to get popular now. I don't know which one of you told other people, but many times that we go there, like the inside is full and now there's outside sitting.
Yeah.
And last time we sat there like outside, the owner actually came up because he knows us so well.
He was so packed on the inside. He's like, I'm leaving.
And he sat outside with us. And then he told us, hey, you know, like I'm going to LA in Mexico in August. And I'm like, oh, we're going to LA in August. We're going to be in LA for a bit. Mm-hmm. We can talk a little bit more about that next week.
Yeah.
But he's like, do you have any recommendations for taco places for me to go to? Because he's going on a taco pilgrimage. We recommended Kogi Barbecue because I feel like he's like trying to do that in Japan.
Yeah.
What's happening there? He's trying to find... Kogi
Barbecue truck in LA is like a kind of fusion-y Korean meets Mexican, which they meld together beautifully.
And they do a very good job of that. And he's doing a good job here finding Japanese ingredients with tacos.
And we're trying to tell him about there's a taco truck on the corner in Culver City.
Yeah.
Right at the corner. And we cannot remember where it is.
I don't remember the name.
If you guys are from LA or if you know of any taco trucks or taco locations that aren't necessarily like a chain that everyone can find, please let us know in the comment section, send us an email, and we're gonna move those over to him
as like taco connoisseurs for this guy. If he's trying to learn more about taco culture, where should he go? We're gonna tell him. So just send us all your comments and we'll send it over to
him.
He's
like, you can DM me, and we're like, we're gonna DM the heck
we're gonna
you, buddy.
DM the shit
we're
out
gonna
of
give
you,
y'all list here's this of whole stuff. List
But we need your help because we don't know LA very well.
Yes, it's very spread out.
It's very spread out.
Very difficult to know the neighborhoods.
And now time for us to pack for our Canada trip.
Yeah, so next week, let me quickly end this.
Okay.
One minute, 44 seconds. Next Tuesday, we're flying out to Toronto.
Yes.
We're going to be seeing our family for about 2 weeks or so.
2 weeks, yes.
And then we're going to LA for our friend's wedding.
Yes.
Our friends who we met in Korea. And we're having a reunion of all the people
in Busan. A 10-year reunion.
It's insane. Right. So it's like a reunion party.
And then
we fly out
to Korea,
which we'll tell you about that one
later. We'll tell you about Korea in a bit, but we got some work there.
Yeah. And then we come back to Japan. So we've got friends flying in who we met in Korea.
Right.
Who are going to be staying in our house, Ryan and Phoebe, and they're going to take care of Spudgy and Memers. So if you start seeing their photos up online and it's not us, they haven't been kidnapped. It's okay.
Don't worry. You're fine.
So that's it.
That's it. Thanks for listening to Story About Community. We like talking about community because we like you guys so much. Did
we
tell you how much we ever like you? We like you so much.
We run a store called Eat Your Kimchi and Eat Your Sushi, and you guys come and eat all the time, and we love it. Thanks for the reviews on
Thanks for eating our sushi and kimchi.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Let's go eat dinner.
Yes. We should probably do that.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye. Okay,